Denise?
I have one comment. Has anybody perhaps maybe considered a fake booth? I mean, have
a structure put there that looks
very nice. You know, personally, I look at the space, and there is really not much of allowance in the width of the road coming in or going out. Maybe more if you were to park the cars behind the station, you would have that little parking area in the front. But to the right, really, with the stream and all right there, there's really not much of a width to build a much larger booth. If you were to put a structure there that would be similar to the drawings that you have, and then maybe just use it for type of storage, if you were to get some camera equipment, maybe place that in there, maybe make it long enough or place it where the white electrical box is, so that's certainly not out in the open being seen, that the traffic arm would actually look like it was built into the booth. So you would basically surround that mm-hmm. box. That would probably give it a nice, you know, look, and not, you wouldn't see this rusted white metal box, you know, on this triangular mm-hmm. type platform. That maybe if you just had, and then just, you know, on the face of it, designed it so it would look attractive, historical, and yet use it for storage of any type of equipment. Put lighting out there, put some lights out there that maybe shine behind it, and down onto the roadway so that we can see your vehicle tags, you know, coming in. Which I think, you know, in the evening especially, lighting is, you know, most trying to try to read the vehicle tags at night. But you have some additional lighting out there.
Mm-hmm. You know, Denise, this option that has the booth, yeah, we can either have it a manned booth or a non-manned booth.
Right.
So that could be an option. I mean, it doesn't have to be a person in that booth. It could be a
right. Well, that's what I'm saying, just for the safety and security, you know, of the police personnel being in the other building, but yet you still have the historical structure in the roadway, and maybe perhaps with some type of monitoring system, you know, as I had stated earlier, that the, you know, one of the options was having a video where we could see you, maybe a video you seeing us as well,
right,
from the peak location.
So I feel like I'm hearing from you is safety. Y'all are most concerned with. Times change, obviously. But
absolutely. And I feel being up in the Keep is definitely a safer location for all of us. You know, we wouldn't be that. We would see more of what's coming on before it actually came to us.
You want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback off the safety issues, definitely. I'm all about having a booth there. I think it's a great facade. I think it's awesome with the architecture. Like I said, West Point has the same thing, but they've fortified their security, and we need to kind of keep that in mind. We don't have to fortify the booth as much if it's unmanned, which will save us a tremendous amount of cost because we've already done that with the Keep. But I'm all about having that video and that unmanned booth because you still get that personal interaction where you can see our face and we can see your face as well. But I've been in that booth. We have lots of cars that drive up there that have no business to be in the park, and they're there to sightsee, check something out, or who knows, case a house out, whatever. So it gives us that we can control a little better when they're right in our face and we have no reaction time. And the traffic guards do not carry guns, so they're very defenseless if you do put them back down in the booth.
I think Mr. Gluck had a quick question for Denise. Trustee Gluck, sorry. That's your other hat.
So, could you comment from inside the Keep how well you can see into the cars that are coming through the gate?
Not really too well. Of course, lighting is a big issue. Mm-hmm. Daytime, I can see inside some vehicles a little bit better. You know, delivery and trucks, it's rather easy because the windshield is different. I don't know much about windshields, but I know in certain cars, the newer cars, the tinting on the glass seems to be a little bit darker than a delivery truck. So it's not really that good. I'm sure as the day goes on and the sun Well, I do know that when the sun changes direction, I can see a little bit more, a little better later in the morning than early in the morning when it's right shining in. But in the evening, I'm sure it's even, you know, completely to nothing, really, because it's darker and it's hard. Right now, we just have the one light that shines right over the steps coming into the keep and pretty much shines across the roadway going into the station. As far as out in the roadway, there's really nothing except for a couple of landscaping lights. But I think, you know, everything may have been placed as a temporary status, so.
Since you've been up in the keep now, how often do the officers have to leave the keep to come down to a vehicle?
That's a good question, John.
Not really too much. I usually work during the day with Jim, and he really doesn't have to come down to speak. Sometimes if there is a problem with the language barrier or the intercom interference, then he'll go out, you know, and try to assist to see where they're going. But really, other than that, it's really not that bad. You know, they do have to turn off their trucks right now to speak into the intercom because the noise seems to interfere of the idle of the trucks and take over. But once they shut off their vehicles and if we have a little difficulty understanding the name, we'll try to shoot for the address, and, you know, a lot of times that helps. So.
Yeah, and how many times do people have to come up to, as opposed to you coming down, have to actually park and come up to the keep with the current situation now?
Not too much. Sure, it's a lot easier when we were in the booth to be able to pass directions or look at the work orders to the contractors coming in with deliveries so that we can assist them with, you know, getting to the job site. It's really not too much. I think it's going to increase as the time goes on, as the season goes on. Right now, there's not much building going on. There's not that many deliveries. The club is closed for the most part. It certainly is going to increase in the spring and summer as the club opens and you get the golf, and GPS sends them to the main gate as opposed to the golf course. They look to cut through. The school will have certain events where they'll make directions to the school. That's really when it's going to pick up, when the landscapers start getting into full swing and start bringing in the mulch and the soil and the fill and so on. Then we'll be able to get a little bit more of an idea on how much they feel intervened, you know, interrupted with having to turn around and park and walk to the gate or the building.
Thank you, Denise. I think Officer Coleman, you had...
I was just going to elaborate on what she said. I mean, we can come up with printers. You can get printers that are outside the video box, so she just hits a button for instructions, because that's really going to be your biggest, where you're going to have to get out of the booth and talk to them, because any type of other interaction is going to be with a police officer, because obviously there's still civilian staff, so we're going to handle anything else that's in a negative way. But the instructions is a huge thing. People not knowing where they're going, press a button within that. We can have that printer just spit it right out in front of the driver at that point. So you still get that personal interaction as well.
Any other comments? Just, Claude?
Well, I had a comment. Claude Kinshard, 1940. So my wife's a mayor, and the morning of the crash into the booth, I accompanied her down there and helped out, right? It was like 3 a.m., forget what it was. But I don't know if everyone knows this, but the actual driver didn't drive up the right side of the road. They drove up the wrong side of the road, right? And they hit the booth with the right-hand side of their car, right there on the corner, really hard, and it pushed the whole booth back, right? And all of the glass fell in, and the person was pushed all the way back to the back. And fortunately, there was this plastic glass thing that was used to protect from sunlight, from glare, which prevented the shards to hit him, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the thing that I'm sort of echoing what someone said, I forget who it was exactly, but I'm always sure that there's some way to protect the frontal part, because it's, you could probably, like, almost like a ship or like some very strong frontal, but the way our booth sits and the way for example, this person who was drunk had no idea where they were going, and they came at it on the wrong side. But you could literally have somebody like not know what they're doing and like hit it from the side, and there's really almost no way to prevent that from occurring, right? So we haven't had that one hit yet. We haven't had a side hit yet, Right, we've had two front hits. And in both, and the first one I heard was
one back,
truck.
One front. One
well,
back.
Yeah, one was in the back with a plow truck. Yeah, so the very first time the booth was destroyed, it was knocked over with the police person inside of it. There was a plow. It was a plow truck that hit it by mistake. So
in the middle of a blizzard.
Sorry?
In the middle of a blizzard.
In the middle of a blizzard. Yeah. So that we know one thing we talk about is safety. I don't know if there's actually any real way of protecting the people inside this booth. I just don't think there is, personally. This is my view. Do I like it? Do I want it? Sure. I mean, I would love to have that person that I can drive up to. I have the same problem coming in a lot of black cars at night, whatever, late at night. And the person, the speaker is talking to the guy, and I have to sort of go one of the windows, hey, it's Clive Ginshard.
Right.
But now hopefully there's some way to deal with that. But I do worry about this, not the frontal hit, but the side hit. Maybe that one way you solve that is you push the booth further back so that you really can't get a side hit. But then the side hit could come from the back. So it's like one of these things. So right now the side hit's more likely to come from the front. And also too, the drive up to the booth isn't straight on. The drive up is from the side, right?
Yeah.
It's
like a ramp or runway.
Yeah, it's like a runway, right into the side, right?
Thank you. Haven't heard from John.
I'm Stephen. I'm Stephen Broad. I'm at 76 Clubhouse Road. And during the discussion and comments, I'm wondering if there could be some kind of a switch off during the day. For example, if the morning was the busiest time for the trucks and things, where there's more interaction and exchange of documents, that perhaps from, say, 8 to noon, 8 to 1, whatever, we could have an officer or a guard in the booth, and then in the afternoon and the evening, I don't know if the evening is a particularly vulnerable time for the officers for these kinds of events to take place, if it's like 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., then to have them up at the keep, to figure out some sort of a way to both manage the traffic flow while maintaining as much security for the people who keep us secure as possible. So I think that might be something to explore.
Mike.
Yeah.
Here for a second.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, the people in the back?
Yeah,
that's the court clerk. Oh, okay. If anybody has a ticket, they want to take care of
the court clerk. The court is in session.
Sorry, just making sure everybody's ID in here so we know.
I know we've gone 2 hours, so, and we still need to hear from the board here. Does anyone have anything that hasn't spoken would like to speak, first of all? And if you want to re-speak again, could you hold off to let us have a little bit of a discussion and go through some of the things we've heard to get back to you any comments that we may have, and then we'll revert back.
I just had one thing which I think you might want to discuss, because I think the officers' comments were, I think we all heard them very strongly about their security, and I think one of the faults about what we're doing is that we have interesting architectural plans. We're speaking as a community, but clearly this is not the only situation of the world. There must be tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of secure gate posts in the United States, and there are probably architects that work specifically on this, with that are very aware of the new technology, that are very aware of policing. You mentioned West Point, of course, is one place, but there must be many of them, and I think
we should be consulting
about
we're
them.
We're actually in touch with chiefs and secured facilities that are state of the art now, so we've already been doing
great.
Yeah, I went to West Point.
Yeah, we've already been doing that. Yes.
And I just want to elaborate on that too. I work nights at West Point, so 8 hours of my shift in Highland Falls is talking to the gate guards, talking to the. I grew up on West Point, so I love that place. I love the historical architecture. That's one reason why I came here. So I'm always talking to them, bouncing ideas off them, how they do things that we can still implement here, but always constantly keep that security. Also, I have other resources in other gated areas that have very secure gated neighbors, just like this. But not as unique, and I've talked to them as well. What are they doing? How is it cost efficient? How can we copy and paste something like that as well? So we're traveling around the world trying to get the best on this.